Please turn in your Bibles again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. There's a little phrase in verse 27 that I want to draw your attention to this evening. And it's the little phrase, whited sepulchres. Look at verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Look at verse 28 also. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for your presence with us again tonight. And we pray now as we turn to thy precious word that you would come and fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, for those in our meeting tonight who are not saved, that you would speak personally to their hearts. O God, we pray that you'll have mercy upon the dear unsaved in Bethel this evening. We ask thee, O God, that you would come and speak to them powerfully, that they, even this night, would call upon thee in salvation. O God, we recognize that except the Lord build a house, they labour in vain that build it. And we know that salvation is of the Lord. But O God, we pray as we would seek to preach thy word and to preach the gospel, Lord, as you have called us to do, that we might be faithful tonight in the proclamation of thy precious truth. We pray, O God, that you would close out the world and defeat the devil. How the devil would seek to snatch away the good seed that would be sown in the hearts of men. O God, we pray that you'll bind the strong man. Indeed, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, pleading the merits of Christ's blood, that you would spoil his goods. And O God, that thy word would have free course tonight and be glorified. We need thee, Lord. O God, we freely confess that. We pray, O God, that you would come into this meeting just now and take control. And Lord, give us a word in season, we pray thee. O God, how we need the power of God as we would preach thy word. And we pray therefore to this end that you would fill us with the Holy Ghost and with power. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. There's no doubt that in this chapter, Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the scribes and to the Pharisees. Now, of course, the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious leaders at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while it is evident when you read the scriptures that there were some of these religious leaders, like Nicodemus, who trusted Christ and believed that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, far greater was the number of the Pharisees and scribes who rejected Christ and wanted nothing to do with him. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus leaves these scribes and Pharisees in no doubt concerning their spiritual state before God. Because although they were the so-called religious leaders, and the outward appearance, everything seemed to be well, within their hearts were black with sin. Indeed, Christ here exposes their hypocrisy, and he points out to them that because they have rejected him as Savior, that they will spend eternity in hell. Take a look at verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. He's speaking here to the scribes and Pharisees. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? So here we have the Lord Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And the Savior here leaves them in no doubt where they stand spiritually with God. The Savior's description of the scribes and Pharisees is summed up for us, I believe, in Matthew 23, verse 27. Here in this text, Christ describes them as whited sepulchres. Look at the verse again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. And then he emphasizes the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees in verse 28 as well. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. My, what a chilling description for anyone to make. And yet, this is how the Son of God described these so-called religious leaders in his day. For a few moments tonight, at the close of our gospel service, I want us to take a look at this text and this description. Whited sepulchres. As we consider this text tonight, I want you to realize that this text does not only describe the spiritual condition of the scribes and Pharisees, but it also describes the condition of every sinner without Christ in this world tonight. If you're not saved, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, then this description describes you. And I pray that as we consider this text and look at this subject tonight, that the Lord will write his word upon your heart and upon your soul. If you're not saved in the meeting, I believe that the Lord has brought you here to hear this message. And I pray that you will listen carefully, because God has a very simple but a very clear message for your heart this evening. What is a sepulchre like? Well, there's a number of things I want you to consider about a sepulchre. We all know what a sepulchre is. It's a tomb. It's a grave. It's where the body is laid. First of all, I want you to notice that a sepulchre is a place of darkness. A grave is a place of absolute darkness. No light whatsoever can penetrate through the cold earth or the thick turf that covers the dead. No matter how strong the sun may be, once the sepulchre or grave is sealed, there is nothing but complete darkness in the tomb. You know, the Bible describes man as one who is in a state of spiritual darkness because of man's sin. Man is in darkness. Because of sin, man's heart and mind and soul is full of darkness. Therefore, in this respect, fallen man is like the sepulchre. And if you're not saved tonight, I want you to get that picture of yourself, because that's the picture that the Bible portrays of you without Christ this evening. In Proverbs 4 verse 19 we read, "The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble." And in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 we read, "That the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." What does it mean to be in spiritual darkness? Well, it means to be lost and void of life. It means to be without Christ. It means to be in a state of hopelessness. It means to be the enemy of God. It means that greater darkness is awaiting you in eternity. I wonder, have you ever thought of that? The Bible describes you at the moment as in spiritual darkness. You're void of light. But if you die in spiritual darkness, in other words, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Bible teaches us that you will enter into everlasting darkness. Indeed, the Bible describes the darkness of hell as outer darkness. Keep your hand there in Matthew chapter 23. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8. And look with me there at verse 12. "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness." There we have the Lord Jesus, and he's describing the eternity of the Christ rejecter. And as the Lord Jesus describes hell and the judgment to come, the Savior here describes hell as a place of outer darkness. Now, I can't explain to you what outer darkness is like. I can just imagine what outer darkness must be like. But certainly, if you die in your sin, die in this spiritual darkness that you're in, then the Bible says clearly that you will be cast out into a greater darkness. Outer darkness. Indeed, just take a look over there in the book of Jude and the verse 13, and you'll read these words. Here we have Jude under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Jude speaks of eternal hell, and this is how Jude describes hell: the blackness of darkness forever. My friend, I wonder, have you ever stopped to consider the destiny of your soul? Have you ever stopped just for a few moments to consider where you're going to be 5 minutes after you die? It's a very solemn thought. And yet, when we turn to the Word of God, and when we consider the spiritual condition of the sinner in darkness, the moment the sinner dies without Christ, they will enter in to an even greater darkness, outer darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, I pray tonight that the Lord will take His Word and write it upon your heart. I preach this Word lovingly to you this evening, but I want to preach it faithfully, because here we have the Word of the Lord to your soul this evening. Oh, my friend, there is a hell and there is a judgment to come, and that's why it is so important for you to prepare to meet God and be ready for death and for eternity. That's why we emphasize upon you your need of God's salvation and your need of God's redemption. Because to fail to be saved, to reject Christ as your Savior, you're going to be lost forever and forever and forever. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're familiar with the message. I'm sure that everyone here in the gospel service tonight have heard the message before. But I just pray that even just now that you will stop just now and think about your soul and think about where you're going to spend eternity and think about that awful place where you'll be cast into, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Sepulchre is a place of darkness. And if you're still in your sin tonight, if you're still a Christ rejecter spiritually, that's how the Bible describes you: in darkness. And someday you'll be cast out into outer darkness. A darkness that indeed can be felt, where you'll be lost forever and forever and forever. But turn back to Matthew chapter 23. Something else I want you to notice about a sepulchre. A sepulchre is not only a place of darkness, but a sepulchre, of course, is a place of death and corruption. Christ describes the inside of the sepulchre in Matthew 23 verse 27. Look at it. As full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. My, what a clear, vivid, honest description the Son of God sets before us in this text concerning the inside of a grave or the inside of a sepulchre or tomb. And isn't it true? The interior of the sepulchre is a scene of loathsome, all-conquering corruption. It is a place of stench, of decay, of rottenness, and of death. That is why we seal the sepulchre. That is why we bury the dead, so that we can remove from our sight this awful stench and corruption that is before us. And as Christ stands before these religious leaders, He tells them that their spiritual state before God is just like the inside of a sepulchre, that they are spiritually dead and corrupt. The Bible describes every sinner as one who is dead and corrupt. When Paul was writing to the Christians at Ephesus, he said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And then in Ephesians 4 verse 22, the apostle says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So the Bible describes the sinner as one who is dead, as one who is corrupt, as one who is vile, just like the inside of a sepulchre. What does it mean to be spiritually dead? It means that there's no spiritual life in you. It means that there's nothing that you can do to make yourself acceptable with God. Just as the dead, decaying corpse can never make itself acceptable among the living, so you, sinner, because you're dead in trespasses and sins, cannot make yourself acceptable before a living God. Why? Because as far as God is concerned, there's no life in you, only death and corruption and sin. And the Bible says that nothing that defileth will ever enter into the presence of God. Are you beginning to see your spiritual state before a holy God? The Bible says from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, there's no goodness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's how God describes you if you're not saved. That's how God describes those without Christ and without God and without hope. Indeed, that's how God describes every man that is born into this world. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Think of the sepulchre. Think of the inside of a grave. It's dark. There's death there. There's corruption there. That's how God describes the sinner, you and me. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. My friend, you've got to see yourself as God sees you. Because until you see yourself as God sees you, and until you see yourself as the Bible describes you, then you will never feel your need of Christ. You will never flee to Christ for salvation. You will never repent of your sin and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. The problem today is that everyone thinks that, well, there's a little bit of good in us all. I'm not just as bad as the person down the road. I'm not just as wicked as my neighbour. Well, I'm not just as sinful as those that I work with. But friend, you are. And the Bible is very clear on the matter. And that's why the Bible emphasizes there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's why you need a Savior tonight. That's why you need a Deliverer. That's why you need a Redeemer. That's why you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the sepulchre is a place of darkness. And the sepulchre is a place of death and corruption. But take a look at our text again in Matthew 23, verse 27. And you'll notice also that a sepulchre can be a place of deception. In Matthew 23, verse 27, Christ described the scribes and Pharisees as whited sepulchres. Did you notice that? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly, underline that, appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You see, the exterior or the outside of the sepulchres to which Jesus likened these men was yearly whitened with a chalk, and thus made them look cheerful and even pleasing to the eye. These sepulchres were painted, if you like. They were painted white on the outward. Thus, in a real sense, there was a deception about these sepulchres. On the outward appearance, they looked well. However, the fact that they looked well on the outward dulled the mind to the death and darkness and corruption that was in the inside. And that is the simple truth that Christ was seeking to bring out here. Thus, the Son of God points out to the Pharisees and scribes that they are just like these whited sepulchres. While in the outward appearance all seems well, their hearts and their lives were black with sin and hypocrisy. Indeed, this is the main thrust of Christ's words here in verse 27 and verse 28. They weren't what they appeared. How many there are today who believe that because they have a little bit of outward religion, that will prepare them for heaven and make them acceptable with God? Oh, how wrong they are. There are many who are like the sepulchre. They are beautiful to look on in the outward appearance, but within their hearts they are full of deception. And not only do they seek to deceive others, but they have even deceived themselves. I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you're deceiving yourself because you believe that because you come to the Free Presbyterian Church and have been brought up under the sound of the gospel, that you're just that little bit better than other sinners? But friend, I've got news for you tonight. You're not better. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What does it mean for the sinner to be deceived? Well, we all know the answer to that. To be deceived means that you think that you're in the right path when you're in the wrong path. You think that you're going in the right direction, but all the time you're going in the wrong direction. Could it be possible that there's someone here tonight and you think that you're going to get into heaven on the basis of your parents' religion, on the basis of good works, on the basis of church membership, on the basis that you know the scriptures? Oh, my friend, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that is a truth that needs to be continually preached, because it is the truth. And I pray that this truth will penetrate into your heart and into your soul tonight. Because unless you have received God's wonderful salvation and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will never enter into heaven. All might be well in the outward appearance. You might act like a Christian and look like a Christian and dress like a Christian and talk like a Christian. But my friend, it's not what we are in the outward appearance that's the most important. It's what takes place in the heart, within. Oh, the whited sepulchre looked well. It had been chalked and painted. It looked well. They could dress up the sepulchre well. But within the sepulchre, nothing had changed. There was still darkness and death and corruption and decay. And you can come to church week by week, and you can carry your Bible week by week, and you can be brought up under the sound of the gospel and know all the terms of Christianity and still be on the broad road which leads to hell and destruction. Humanly speaking, if anyone was going to get into heaven, on their outward appearance, it was going to be the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of Christ's day. They said prayers every Sabbath. They read the scriptures every Sabbath. They taught the law of Moses. Indeed, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says right at the beginning here. Take a look at what the Savior says in verse 1 of chapter 23 of Matthew's Gospel. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, and observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. In other words, they were hypocrites. Oh, I wonder this evening, What is your spiritual state before God? What is the state of your heart? What is the state of your soul? I pray tonight that the Lord will reveal unto you that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved by the grace of God. You see, your sin, as we have already said, is bringing you down to a lost eternity. You're dead spiritually in trespasses and in sins. I hope and pray that no one here tonight is deceiving themselves into thinking that they're going to get into heaven without Jesus Christ as their Savior. I hope that's not the case. But in case it is, because it is possible to be brought up in an evangelical church. It is possible to be brought up in a Protestant church. It is possible to come under the sound of the gospel and for the devil to deceive the minds of men to the truth that they can only get into heaven through being saved by the grace of God. You need God's salvation. And you need it now because the Bible says, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. What hope is there for the sinner? Well, the only hope for the sinner, of course, is Christ. The Bible tells us that Christ is the light. Indeed, Christ is described as the light. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We read in Matthew 4, verse 16, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light sprang up. And of course, that light was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Sinner, this light can penetrate your darkened heart and wash away your sin. Thank God, there is hope for the sinner. The sinner that is in darkness. And that hope is Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Christ is not only described as the light, Christ is described as the life. The Bible says that in Christ is life, and the life is the light of men. Therefore, although you're dead in sins and you're corrupt in your heart, Christ can breathe new life into you again. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel, because Christ came to give life. He came to give eternal life. Therefore, tonight I would draw your attention to the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Christ is described as the incorruptible Word. Did not Jesus say himself, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away? Sinner, if you come tonight and submit yourself to the words of Christ, then you will be brought out of darkness, out of death, and out of corruption, and out of deception, and you will begin your journey to heaven and to home. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And this is the reason why we preach the gospel. This is why we preach Christ and Him crucified. This is why we declare that we serve our risen Savior, and why we declare that the Bible tells us that not only did Christ die for our sins, but He rose again to justify us. And thank God, all who believe and trust in Christ will be saved for all eternity. Your darkness can be turned into light. Your deadness can be turned into life. Your corruption can be turned into incorruption. Because you see, friend, all those who are in Christ are never in darkness, are never dead again. And they never know what corruption will be. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Thank God there's life in Christ. Turn over with me just for a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 11. We were preaching from this passage of Scripture this morning. I just want to close by looking at it again this evening. Here we have Christ standing outside the tomb of Lazarus. Now, if you're familiar with the story, you will know that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Stone had been rolled over the face of the tomb. Inside the tomb, there's nothing but darkness and death and decay and the corruption. Even those outside the sepulchre realized this because they said concerning the corpse, "By this time, Lord, he stinketh." But although inside the tomb there was darkness and death and decay and corruption, outside the tomb there was light and life and resurrection power in Christ, the eternal Son of God. Therefore, when Christ spoke and cried, "Lazarus, come forth," death could not hold its prey. And of course, that's what we have here, because the Lord Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Look at verse 43. "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth!' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Oh, sinner, what a picture we have here of God's wonderful salvation. Like the corpse inside the tomb, you're dead. You're in darkness. You're without hope. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is able to give you life and bring you out of the darkness because of who he is and because of what he has done on the place called Calvary. Look what John 11 verse 25 says. Jesus said, and he said very, very clearly, and what a tremendous statement this is, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Oh, my friend, there's life in Christ tonight for you. You can live tonight. Oh, you're dead, and you're in darkness, and your sin is bringing you out into hell. It will bring you out into outer darkness. But this is the wonderful message of the gospel, that Jesus came to give life, and he can give you life tonight. Are you happy in the life that you're living? My friend, if you're not saved, and if you seriously think of that question, realizing that you're a sinner bound for hell, you could not be happy. You could not be happy. Because true life and true happiness and true peace is only found in Jesus Christ. Now, the pleasures of this world will give happiness for a time, a certain amount of happiness. The Bible does speak about the pleasures of sin. And there are pleasures in sin, but they're only for a season. I wonder, is there someone here tonight, and you're beginning to realize that the pleasures of sin are just but for a season? And for you, there's no more pleasure in sin and no more pleasure in the things that you once got pleasure out of. That's the Lord beginning to work in your heart. That's the Lord beginning to speak to your soul. That's the Lord beginning to reveal unto you, my friend, that you need something more than the pleasures of sin. You need something more than your natural life upon this earth. You need eternal life. You need everlasting life. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you that everlasting life. And that's why he came and died upon a cross. That's why he shed his precious blood in order to redeem you and save you, because he loves you. He doesn't love your sin, but he loves you. He doesn't love your deadness and your corruptness and your darkness and your vileness. No, but he loves you, the sinner. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not wonderful? Lost in your darkness, lost in your sin, lost and dead in trespasses and in iniquities, and yet came to deliver you from sin and from hell. I tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ did for Lazarus in John chapter 11. Physically and literally, the Lord Jesus can do for you spiritually. He can change your life. He can give you new life. I wonder tonight, would you recognize your spiritual state? Would you recognize where your spiritual state is bringing you to a lost eternity? And would you turn and look to Christ and see in Him true life, true peace, true happiness? Because thank God, only in Jesus Christ will you find it. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let us all pray.